The reading for this morning is from the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verses 9 to 13. The book of Matthew, chapter 24, verses 9 to 13. Then the devil delivered you of tribulation and killing, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will be abounding, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. I repeat the last two verses. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. This is the word of God.
Amen. Good morning.
Good to be here. Good to be back with you all. It's great to be in this assembly and just being a part of this fellowship we're blessed to have. Yesterday, or I think it was yesterday, the start of the Olympics, the worldwide Olympics. It started off with they did a production or some form of showing that there were people dressed up as homosexuals, and they insulted Christianity. They recreated the Last Supper. Mocking God. That is the world that we live in today. Thursday, they had the gay pride in the city of Nottingham, enjoying and lavishing the pride of sin and things that go against the Word of God. I didn't see the Olympic myself, but I heard about it. I saw little clips of it. Quite frankly, I think if I'd have seen it, I'd have probably thrown my TV out the window. But that sadly is the world that we live in today. And I'm going to share with you a warning. I want to warn you today. I'm warning myself as well. Because I am concerned every day with the world that we live in. You see, I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. I want you to go to heaven. I want to see you in heaven. I want my neighbours and my community and all those involved in ungodly things to go to heaven. I can tell you this, that becoming a Christian was probably one of the easiest things. I recall studying the Word of God and hearing it touch my heart in such a way that, my goodness, I couldn't sleep. And I just knew I had to give my life to Christ. And I remember through my baptism, the joy. You know, becoming a Christian, the joy. Not many people know this, but I actually was baptized when I was younger, and I don't think I really understood. It was later in life that I responded to some of my own teaching, became a Christian later in life. And through that time, I remember the joy, I remember the excitement, and I remember the feeling. It was just so wonderful. You know, do I believe Jesus is? You bet I do. You bet I do. Do I want to give my life to him? Yes. I want Jesus in my life, because this world has got nothing to offer. And that was relatively straightforward. It was a joy. And I think any Christian can recall that day and say what a joy it was. Well, this is the warning that I want to share with you today. Getting to heaven is not easy. It's not easy. And you know, the biggest hindrance of us getting to heaven is ourselves. Because we live in a society and world where the world has created an environment. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah out there. You can't put your TVs on now cringing at the things you see, the jokes that people tell, the signs that you see. You walk through the shops in Leicester, and I know Brother Gavin's commented on this, there are shops you almost have to shut your arms. You walk down the street sometimes and have to cross the road because of the way the people are dressed. You see, we're trying to get to heaven, and the biggest hindrance can be ourselves if we are not careful. If I was to say how many in this room can relate to this passage that we've just read, because this is depicting the end of the time. This is depicting a time where there's going to be wars. We can see the wars where people will be haters of people like you and me, where people will turn their back on God in such a way that they can publicly insult him on TV and reach every house in the globe, insulting the living God. And when I look at this passage, I realise when we look in Matthew 24, they will give you up to tribulation. They'll kill you, son. You'll be hated. You speak up about the word of God and see the reaction you get. You stand in the street in Leicester, I've done it. I've been insulted. By all the nations, he says, for my name's sake, many will be offended. After all, he wants to hear the truth. People will betray one another, they'll hate one another. False prophets will rise up and deceive, and it's happening even in the churches. Watered down religion. I have seen it even in the Church of Christ, where religion has been watered down, where things that are really absolutely imperative to the Word of God is watered down and washed over as if these things don't matter. Lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold, because we live in a world of hatred. We live in a world that doesn't love each other. You can't even drive your car down the road without somebody waving or chanting abuse. The love of many will grow cold. But it says this. This is the thing. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And that is our challenge. That's our challenge. We have to endure. This is one of those things where we have a gift awaiting, but we don't receive it yet. We've got to endure to get to it. And we have to, you see, we don't have to earn our way into heaven, but we certainly have to get through this life. He who endures to the end shall be saved. That is our challenge. Listen, there's not one person in this room that can't relate to the reality of what a difficult task it is. But we have to endure it. Endure. When it talks about endurance means there's something that is going to be difficult. It's something that we've got to get through. It's something that we've got to persevere with. If your life is a walk in the park, you're not living the way God wants you to live. Because our Christian life is something that we have to endure. It's something that we have to get through. But the rewards are wonderful. You see, this life is a temporary life. Can we stay strong on this earth? Can we stay focused on this earth? Can we keep our minds set on this world and be able to be strong in it? You know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Do you know that nearly every passage in Scripture is based upon that? It's based upon that. The second one in Mark 13:13, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. You put those two passages together, brethren, and every single teaching is based upon them. Because you see, the teaching is grounded in believing in God. Endurance of getting through this journey is about our belief in God. Of course, there's a process to become a Christian. You can't just believe and be saved. But true belief drives us forward to do the very thing that God wants us to do. So we believe, and through the belief, the actions come, and then we endure, and we endure because of the belief that we have. And so if you run through life and not enduring, then in theory, maybe that belief isn't truly there. You see, the command to repent and be baptized, the command to love and grow and bear fruit and worship in spirit and in truth and express our faith and belief, all of this is based on our belief in God. We will love because we believe in God. We will grow because we believe in God. We will give our lives to Christ in baptism because we believe in God. That is why we do it. But then we have to worship in spirit and in truth. And once again, all of these things express our faith and belief in Jesus Christ. And then all the teachings come, don't they? This is where the challenge is. Holiness, prayer, faithfulness, perseverance, fellowship. They all speak of the ongoing war that we have on this journey that we are on. We cannot just enter this water and come out and get on with our lives as if nothing matters at all. We have to be on this journey, and we have to get through it. And we live in a world where the devil is making every opportunity for himself to bring you down. We need to understand this required faithfulness is lifelong. Brother Gary touched on this morning, lifelong. Our Christian walk isn't just a temporary thing, it's lifelong. Brother Isaac, we were talking about retirement this morning. Brethren, the time will come when maybe you will retire from your work, but your Christian life you won't be retiring from. That Christian walk continues. My grandfather, 99 years old, still studying his Bible. 99. I would go around his house and he'd sit there reading away and trying to get his head around the passages, and we'd sit in classes and he would ask questions, and he was a preacher and teacher. And he'd be asking the other teachers questions. What do you mean by that? You see, this life that we are on is a journey. And we need faith in Christ, and we need to remain faithful until the death. That is our challenge. And I believe that remaining faithful is the most difficult of the two. And that is why it says that many will not make it, only a few will. And so our focus has to change. Our mindset has to change. You need to finish faithfully, brother. Faithfully means, and we know the race that we run, there's only one first place and everybody who's on that race gets it. You know, at school, I remember being in the school races, I would always be at the last one coming in. But this race that we're on is, it doesn't matter where you are on the road, so long as you're on the road and you're striving, that when the world ends, God says, I take you where you are and give you first place. You get first place. Blessed, James 1:12 says, is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. You see, I want to make heaven. I want to get to heaven. I want to get the crown of life, which the Lord has promised me. I want you to do the same. But you notice it says, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Because that is the reaction and response to people who receive faith in him. When we have faith in him, we cannot help but love him. We cannot help but love what he has done. This morning, Brother Gary sharing that class, my goodness me. Does it not churn you up inside? You look at that crucifixion that our Savior went through. It makes you realize this world is blind to the truth. The problem with faithfulness, you know, is it has many enemies. Trying to be faithful, trying to stay on this road, many enemies. If we went into Matthew 13, talking about the the seeds that are thrown on the grounds. And we read of the ones on the hard ground, there's no grounding. There's no grounding. These are the people trying to get through the Christian life, lowering the values of God's word, compromising his teaching, watering it down, trying to justify their sin, undervaluing God's laws. This is Christians. You see, they've given their life to Christ, but the journey that they're on, we're going to lower the values. These things don't really matter too much. I'm sure God will understand. Undervaluing God's laws. One attack. You have a life like this. You have your life grounded in this hard soil. These stones. One attack. You'll be down. You'll be down. And that is the dangers that we face in our Christian life. In the same passage in Matthew 13:22, now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. The word of God is choked, and he becomes unfruitful. Why am I unfruitful? Why is my life unfruitful? Why am I having it so easy? Why is everything just falling into place for me? You know, I've got no concerns and no worries. Well, maybe you're just allowing the word of God to be choked up, because when you read the word of God and it tells me how I need to be with money and riches and wealth and finance and attitudes that I need to have, I suddenly realise I've got to change my thinking. I've got to consider the way I use what I have. I've got to be a bit more generous. I've got to give a little more. I've got to take up some sacrifices in my life. That is the difference. Because we, if we are not careful, will allow all the deceitfulness in this world to choke out the word of God. Choke it out. And so we become unfruitful in this journey that we are on being successful. We want to make our God. We want to make heaven. The righteousness is choked out. Everything gets in the way. Our families, our events, our worldly activities. God is last in the pile. No time for seeking righteousness, because I'm busy seeking myself. Trying to seek the things that matter to me. I'm trying to find my happiness. I'm trying to compile all these things that I want in life. I'm trying to gather everything in and put it into my life and store it all away. All of these things. Choking out the real value of life that every day we should get up and consider our righteousness. We should consider the way that God wants us to live and change. We should ask ourselves, are these things getting in the way of my relationship with God? Because if they are, how am I going to make my journey? How am I going to reach the end? Personal sins. You know, we're all sinners. We all have personal sins, things that we are struggling with. How many times do you allow your personal sins to kill your desire to continue? I'm not good enough. I can't get this sin resolved. I'm not good enough. Often in your lives, that will be your hindrance. That will prevent you from pursuing forward on this road. You see, we have to know the faith that we have in God is the sins in our life, the things that God has taken care of through his son Jesus. What we have to do is be looking at our lives and changing. Look at the bad influences in our lives. Who's influencing your life? Where do you take your influences? Those unbelievers that are drawing you away, maybe. People who don't believe in God. I'm talking about people who say, I don't believe in God. Why would anybody want to? What the Apostle Paul did, he not warn? Did he not give warnings? It's constantly ignored today. 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You see? Fellowship is righteousness with lawlessness. And say, for what fellowship? As righteousness with lawlessness. How do the two come together? And what communion is light with darkness? How can you have two opposite things drawn together? And what accords Christ with Belial? Belial is referring to the devil. How can we allow these influences in our life to prevent us from progressing on this journey that we are on? We have to stand firm. We have to be realistic. This, I believe, is the last stage. We don't know when the time will be. We don't know. The Apostle Paul was waiting for it when he was here, all those years ago. But when you look at the state of the world that we're living in today, I seriously question time and say, how much time do we have to make things right? If you want to make heaven, make the decision. Commit yourself fully to God. That means that whatever's been going on in your life, make this the day where you turn around and say, do you know what? I'm not messing around. I'm not going to lose my salvation for anything. I'm going to get my head into gear. I'm going to make the decision to put my God first. I'm going to make Him from this day my number one. I'm going to commit myself fully to Him. Take a firm decision. Go ahead and don't stop no matter what comes your way. Make up your mind about Christ once and for all. Do you want to make heaven? Yes or no? You remember John 6 when Jesus was teaching in John chapter 6, and if you remember, many people left, they departed, and they were back, what called backsliding, they were sliding away. They didn't like the teaching that Jesus was sharing. And Jesus said to his disciples, do you want to leave me as well? So all the crowd had gone. Now Jesus turns and says to them, do you want to leave me as well? What is he doing? Is he saying, make a commitment, make a choice. Peter said, you're the Holy One of God. We stay. Of course we stay. But you see, it's making the commitment, deciding what we are going to do. If you want to make heaven, we have to be committed to and willing to make that commitment. You can't just drift through this life as a Christian. You can't just, as they say, use the word or phrase, wing it. I'll see how I get on. We have to get our heads into gear. This is a tricky journey that we are on, and it's going to take a lot of concentration, a lot of prayer, a lot of faith, and a lot of trust in the Holy Spirit that we receive the day we gave our life to Christ. If you want to make heaven, you need to examine yourself. When you choose Christ, your old life will show up for a visit. We won't note it down. You can bring Christ into your life and you watch your whole old life keep coming back. Keeps arriving at your front door. Keeps showing up in your mind. Everywhere you try and escape it, it will show up. Or something or someone will come between you and the church. I guarantee you, I've seen it so many times. And I've even experienced it. Things will show up. Do you want to make heaven? How do we deal with those things? We have to go with the commitment that we are willing to make. And this is why the body, this congregation now, is so important. We have to be united. If the church is divided, then we've got a problem. It has to be united, and it can only be united through the Word of God. Our sisters staying together, being united together, our brothers, our youth. And this is a challenge that we are facing on a daily basis, but we have to remain strong. One of the biggest killers in the church is people who separate themselves from the body. In other words, they carry the name Christian, but they're not part of the body. It's a guaranteed way to lose heaven. Separate yourself from the church. Pull yourself away. Be busy in other things and just show up now and then. And then you ask yourself, do I want to make heaven? Am I going to make heaven? Being separated from the body? Take your head off. Well, how long will your body last? It won't last a second. Once your head's gone, you're gone. How can we take Christ out of our lives and expect to live our lives as Christians? So what happens is this. We bear the name, I'm a Christian, because I've been baptized. But Well, that's as far as you go. If you're a Christian, yes, I'll be baptized. But the question is this, are you living and travelling the journey as a Christian? Are you on that road to salvation? We need to be heading. My last point I want to say is this. Remain faithful. It takes trust in the Lord to do that. It's not impossible because God has not set anything impossible for his people. That wouldn't be a loving God. If he puts something there and knows you can't achieve it, you know, what good is that? God puts this challenge before us and says, this is the people that I want you to be. This is the life that I want you to live. But you've got to trust me. You've got to trust me. That means I have to trust him in my decisions. I have to trust him in my way of bringing up my family. I have to trust him in my marriage. I have to trust him in decisions that we make. That's what we have to do to make heaven. Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is with us all the way. And so though this journey is a tough journey, we're all on it. And so I'm not here criticising, I'm here warning you, saying be careful. Don't lose your salvation through mistakes like this. Consider this. You know, he's with us on this journey. We're not alone, we have each other as well. Hebrews 13:5, let your conduct be without covetousness, be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is the God that we have. Do you know something? God doesn't leave us, we leave him. We leave him. When we leave him, he says, I'm here, I'm not far away. But we leave him. Philippians 3:13 through 14, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. What does he say? I press toward the goal. For the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Brethren, that is my prayer for this church, my prayer for this congregation, that we remain faithful, that we know that this is a tough journey, but endure it. Endure the journey. Keep going forward. And I leave you with verse 13 of our passage, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Amen.
Amen. Amen.